in the building. 10-5. Revenge is something. Boom. 69 yards. There's a penalty on the play.
Well, what he did is he threw the ball in the stands. You can't
do
that.
Who cares? Who cares?
Hello again, everyone. Seth from Gamecock Network here for our weekly podcast. We've got a good bit on tap for the show today, as well as some updates from our end here at Gamecock Network. As always, before we get going, before we take a look at today's lineup, let me remind everyone to check us out online. It's GamecockNetwork.com, of course, as well as Facebook and Twitter. So today, guys, let's kind of take a quick overview of what we've got going on. We're going to touch on of course, what we've got planned here for the future at Gamecock Network. We've got some exciting things we're ready to introduce to you guys, as well as an update around the football program. We're going to touch on Mark Kingston and the USC baseball program, get an update that in that direction as well. We'll also touch on the hardwood for both the Gamecocks men and women's basketball team. So first for the day, guys, we'll kind of touch on what we've got planned for the future here at Gamecock Network. We've got some interviews planned with some current and former players that we'll end up, you know, having here on air on the podcast itself. We did an article last year on some former guys, you know, and their involvement now that Coach Muschamp's here. And, you know, he extended his arms with a lot of different invites for those guys, you know, to be involved in the program currently and in the future. And of course, we're going to introduce also some weekly segment questions with, you know, some input from social media, some questions we'll take from, you know, Facebook, Twitter, things like that. We get a little more fan interaction from you guys, make the show, you know, a lot more bearable for you guys, of course, and make you guys have a more enjoyable overall experience here. And also, too, want to let you guys know, first and foremost, we'll have a few ads here and there. Majority of the ads will be, you know, local companies in town, kind of, you know, support your small businesses, that type ordeal, and they will not be overbearing. It will not be anything that's going to, you know, ruin the flow of the show or anything like that, but we always like to keep you guys informed and let you know first. First off, guys, we'll touch on the football program. We're going to kind of hit an overall, you know, update around that there. So, of course, everybody knows the football operations building was completed back in January of this year, of 2019, $50 million plus facility, resort basically for these guys. I mean, it's an absolute game changer in the recruiting world, as well as just the overall student life and the abilities and capabilities of our football and student athletes in general, to, you know, to be able to take advantage of all of these upgrades. You know, May just passed. We had Maymester for the football program for some enrollees. We had Cam Smith, Jamie Robinson, Shiloh Sanders, those guys, three big-time defensive backs that the Gamecocks are going to rely on. All of those guys enrolled in Maymester, went ahead and, you know, got their feet wet, got college going, you know, got things under their belt. And then in summer one, there's, you know, some guys coming in as well, mainly the rest of the class. It's about eight guys. Notable are Ja'Kai Moore, John Dixon, Mark Fox, some guys like that, you know. So everyone's getting ready to go ahead and get set, be on campus, go ahead and get, you know, their mind in the right direction. One thing also that's pretty big news, not only, you know, at the University of South Carolina around our football program, but also, you know, around the SEC in general, is the alcohol ban that was released by the SEC this past week. Now, the alcohol ban has been lifted. Does not mean you have to serve alcohol in the stadium. There's some schools like Georgia, Alabama, Auburn already said they probably were not going to, you know, test the waters this year with it. Other schools like LSU, you know, that have been pushing for it the hardest, they're going to try it out. So Ray Tanner's kind of taking a in-the-middle approach right now, kind of seeing what everyone else is doing, and eventually he'll make a decision. But keep in mind, you know, the 2019 decision is not something that's bearing on the future. You could very well not serve alcohol this year and then decide to do it next year, you know, if everything plays out well for the schools that are actually doing it. Now, in regards to Williams-Brice, of course, there are some renovations and upgrades that are taking place there. The second stage has been approved by the Board of Trustees at USC. It'll be completed by 2020 before the season. It's about a $22.5 million project there. It's going to add some seats down in the Southwest Lower, more of a club-type experience. as well as just some general, you know, air conditioned and lounge areas for ticket holders and general fans in the stands. So that's definitely a good thing after being at a lot of the games in the last few years, you know, early in the season that are midday. I mean, they're unbearable, and you guys know that. The first three game times for football have also been announced. North Carolina will be at 3:30. That's a neutral site contest at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. That one will be televised on ESPN. The Gamecocks home opener is the following week, week two against Charleston Southern. That one will be at 12 noon on SEC Network. Definitely be another hot one there. And then week three will be the Gamecocks' second home game of the year, first SEC home game, and that one will take place at 3:30 on CBS against Alabama. So something definitely look forward to for the Gamecocks, and it was a big-time thing to kind of figure out, you know, what time we're going to be playing so fans and the guys can have the right mindset going into the year. Of course, up next, guys, you know, Mark Kingston in the USC baseball program, coming off a very, very disappointing 500 year, 28 wins, 28 losses, and absolutely disturbing 8-22 mark in the SEC. It's definitely something, you know, we're not used to around here in Columbia as Gamecock baseball fans. It wasn't that long ago, you know, we played for three straight national titles, 1-2. I mean, the standards around here are basically comparable to the Alabamas, you know, in the college football world. We expect to win big around here, but it was a very, very tough season for us. You know, the players leaving and coming in, TJ Hopkins, Cullen, and Olsen, of course, the big three seniors, those guys will all be moving on, won't be available again. Also have had a few transfers already. You know, Nick Neville transferred, as well as Perez English has transferred as well. He's a little brother of Tanner English. None of those guys played a ton. Quentin Perez played a good bit this year for the Gamecocks, but none of them contributed a ton. Neville was a great hand on defense. He also could not hit, you know, very well this year. Couldn't catch up quite well, you know, from the junior college ranks, and that pitching jumping up all the way to the SEC. You know, the elite conference of the Division One. I mean, it's a whole new ball game. Those guys couldn't make the adjustment that quick. The Gamecocks do have a top JUCO class coming in this year. Those guys are expected to, of course, you know, play immediately and try to contribute immediately. And they're a top 10 class overall when you include the high school and junior college ranks. So that's something, you know, the Gamecocks are definitely looking forward to, an improvement. This should be an anomaly, and that's, you know, the way Mark Kingston's looking at it this season. It was a gut check, and it was a wake-up call for them. But they kind of know, you know, what they're up against now. As well as, I heard Mark Kingston say something the other day on 107.5, the game, the local Gamecock station here in Columbia, about, you know, all positions are up for grabs. All positions being up for grabs this summer, this fall, when these guys take foot on campus. And I mean, the way he puts it, it does not matter if you've been playing 2-3 years in the program, if you're a rising junior or senior, you know, everything is going to be open. And I think that's a good mindset to have, so no one will get complacent. You know, you won't have these guys assuming roles like they were this year, and like Mark Kingston, Skylar Meade and staff had to, you know, adjust and let these guys assume roles because they were so limited with all the injuries and all the mishaps throughout the season. You kind of look at the future. The program does look like it's gonna take a step forward. You kind of lose three of the big pieces, but those guys really hadn't increased their production. That being TJ Hopkins, Chris Cullen, and of course Jacob Olsen. The last few years, they've been pretty steady. A couple of them have dropped off, so it's not like you're losing something that was a continuous improvement year by year. But the Gamecock baseball program definitely will be looking to improve, make it back to regional play, and get back in the postseason next year. 28-28 just won't cut it in Columbia on the diamond. All right, guys, we'll kind of dive into the hardwood now, Gamecock men's and women's basketball programs and the off-season updates around them. So as far as transfers go, incoming transfers, that is, the Gamecocks will, of course, have to replace Chris Silva in the post, something that's not going to be easy at all. They did need a big body to come in and be able to play immediately. Did have Wildens Levique, a commit, a big 6'9", power forward type guy, but he may not be able to, you know, immediately step in and play, coming straight out of the high school ranks. So they did pick up a transfer from 6'9", Micaiah Henry. He is a Tennessee Tech transfer graduate, available to play immediately. He is a pretty good overall guy on the statistics side of things. You look at his numbers, average 10 points, 5 boards, 2 blocks a game. Had some big games against some big-time Division I opponents at Tennessee Tech. So he's definitely somebody that the Gamecocks will be relying on immediately. The Gamecock women, of course, had a couple of transfers leaving the program earlier this offseason. They've actually received one now from Destiny Littleton. She's from the University of Texas, May redshirt. She wasn't a McDonald's All-American, and she helps, you know, the Gamecocks bench for the future, just as this recruiting class does. The women are, of course, ranked number one in the nation in recruiting. They've got 4 5 stars. They've got the number one center, you know, number one point guard, number two forward, number three wing. I mean, this class is absolutely loaded. I'm one of the best in women's basketball history. Not just, you know, in South Carolina's program with Dawn and her elite recruiting. The South Carolina men's team topped out at 44th for this class, which is actually very solid when you look at, you know, how many teams there are in Division I basketball, 300-plus. So the Gamecocks are definitely on the upper end there. Pretty good class put in by Frank Martin. We kind of look at Martin as well in the offseason rumors surrounding him. He was a heavy candidate for the Cincinnati job. You know, he ended up not leaving. Cincinnati wasn't able to offer quite what South Carolina's paying Frank, but, you know, the package, his connections there, being a former coach, all of those things were drawing him in. He ultimately did not take the job and, you know, decided to stay here, which is big, and we thought, you know, we were kind of done with that. Michigan did reach out as well, so there was also some interest there. They ultimately were sold on and focused on mainly Juwan Howard, the alumni and part of the Fab Five, and he, you know, of course, was ultimately hired as the Michigan head coach. So definitely dodged two bullets for the South Carolina Gamecocks. Us fans here, I'm not losing Frank to either Cincinnati or Michigan, and the two transfers for both programs and two recruiting classes, of course, are definitely putting both programs in the right direction moving forward.
Hey guys, don't be unprepared when a tragedy strikes. You want the best looking out for you and your family. With personalized service and trusted advice, you can trust the Glenn Winslow Agency with all of your family auto, home, and life insurance needs. Give your local Northeast Columbia neighbor a call today at 803-865-0047. Again, that number is 803-865-0047.
As we kind of wind down here, guys, also wanted to touch on the huge recruiting weekend the South Carolina football program just amassed. We weren't planning on, you know, touching on the subject too much today, as we just had a full podcast last week on South Carolina recruiting and the update with the 2020 class. But, I mean, you cannot, you know, have a feature on a recruiting weekend like the Gamecocks just now produced. Of course, four-star Columbia product Alex Huntley committed the Gamecocks 93 overall rating on 247, and he was just one of four. Five total commits, four that are publicized. Friday night, the Gamecocks also got commitments from Makia Scott, a three-star, 85 overall defensive lineman out of the state of Georgia, as well as O'Donnell Fortune, who is a local product as well, a three-star defensive back. Gamecocks want him as a corner from Sumter, South Carolina. Very, very lengthy guy, very quick. Also, Trey Jones, an offensive guard from Abbeville, small town South Carolina and upstate South Carolina, committed 6'2", 275, three-star, 85 rating for him as well. So the Gamecocks kind of stacked guys in this weekend. Trey Jones and Fortune both committed after they were offered at camp, the stage 3 out of 3 for the Will Muschamp coaches camp for football. So that there netted them two commitments. And then Alex Huntley is someone the Gamecocks have been on for a long, long time from Hammond School here in Columbia. He ended up releasing a video Saturday that committed to the Gamecocks, which was absolutely enormous. That commitment there with Makia Scott also put the Gamecocks at a total of 12 for the class, and the Gamecocks sneak all the way up to 10th in the rankings on the 247 composite for team recruiting rankings for this year. So still a lot of big guys out there for the Gamecocks and a lot of big-time recruits, you know, that they're looking at that could definitely make the pledge that, in this direction to Carolina. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. And how far can the Gamecock climb in this class? Now, as always, guys, we sincerely appreciate you guys, you know, listening in. We will, of course, have another podcast next week. We will keep growing with you guys, keep making more fan interaction possible. And as always, do not forget to visit us online at GamecockNetwork.com, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. We love hearing from you guys, and thanks again for everything. Hope you guys have a great week.